Assalamu alaikum. We have just launched our Fight With Light fundraising campaign for Seekers Hub Global, where our goal is to raise $60,000 in monthly donations by the end of the year. And all of this money will go towards fighting ignorance and fighting hatred and fighting extremism by spreading the light of knowledge and the light of guidance and the light of the way of our messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We hope that you'll join us in this fight. And you can do so by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate.
You're listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani, who will be covering Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 hadith of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, as well as Imam Zarnuji's guidance for seekers of knowledge regarding the ways of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Mut'allim, Turuq al-Ta'allum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وقرة أعيننا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين. الحمد لله. We are continuing to look at Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani's collection of 40 hadiths on the virtues of Iman and Islam. And these are meant, amongst other things, to grant us deeper appreciation for the great blessings of Iman and Islam, which are the greatest of blessings. As they say, Alhamdulillah ala ni'mati al-Iman wa katha biha min ni'mah. All praise is due to Allah for the blessing of faith, and sufficient it is as a blessing. And we're on hadith number 22. We didn't take hadith 21? Okay. Hadith number 21. An Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Anna an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, yakhruju min an-nari man kana fi qalbihi mithqalu dharratin min iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has an atom's weight of faith in their heart will leave the fire. قال أبو سعيد فمن شك فليقرأ إن الله لا يظلم مثقال ذرة. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, so whoever doubts, let them recite, meaning the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, truly Allah does not wrong even to the extent of an atom's weight, of a grain, a dharra. Rahu al-Tirmidhi wa sahahuhu. It's related by al-Tirmidhi and he deemed it sahih. So, and this is mentioned elsewhere in the Qur'an as well. Despite whatever wrong that they do. So some people get confused, so but what about a believer who engage in great wrongdoing? Well, one of the dangers of dhulm is that dhulm can result, especially if, you know, it's active, ongoing, unrepented from dhulm. Dhulm is one of the asbab of su'il khatima, of the causes of a bad ending. Right? So someone could end up having a bad ending. They have salbul iman. They lose their faith completely. And one of the causes for that is dhulm. Particularly, dhulm to Allah's creation. Particularly dhulm to those who are most needy. Right? Most dependent. Those who have most rights. And similarly, there are things that lead to good endings. Right? So we neither affirm the absurd, that someone was a great person, they must have become a Muslim before they died. We leave that to the just and merciful Lord. The next hadith, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه, أنه قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, من قال رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا, وجبت له الجنة. رواه أبو داود وفي رواية النبي. So he also relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever says, I am pleased with Allah as Lord and with Islam as my way or my religion and with Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, as messenger, paradise is incumbent for them. It's related by Abu Dawud, and in another narration, as prophet, Nabiya. So Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabani says, فَيَنْبَغِي الْجَمْعُ بَيْنَهُمَا. So one should join between the two. وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. And this is, you know, so many of the scholars encourage saying that as part of one's daily adhkar. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَيِّدَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. Right? It's in many collections of awrad. Why? Because this is something we're encouraged to say. Of course, the saying of the tongue is an indication of the conviction of the heart, as is obvious. Because we both affirm these realities, but we are also obligated to be content with them. Rida. To have rida. And rida is very closely related with gratitude. And it is gratitude that results in rida, from in contentment. Both the rida, the contentment of the servant with their Lord, because someone is grateful for blessings, they will be content with their Lord. And to the extent that one sees things as blessings, to that extent, one will be content with Allah. And similarly, to the extent that one is grateful, Allah will be content with us. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. The 23rd hadith عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أسلم العبد فحسن إسلامه or فحسن إسلامه كتب الله تعالى له كل حسنة كان أزلفها ومحيت عنه كل سيئة كان أزلفها وكان بعدد ذلك القصاص كل حسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف والسيئة بمثلها إلا أن يتجاوز الله عنها. رواه البخاري تعليقا والنسائي مسندا. So the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, if a person, literally a servant, enters Islam and makes good their Islam, Allah writes for them for every good deed that they had done previously. Right? He records it for them and wipes away every ill deed that they did before, meaning even before Islam. And that is to the extent of the reckoning, such that every good deed, even past good deed, will be recorded tenfold up to 700 times. Whereas a bad deed is only counted once, unless Allah overlooks it. And Islam wipes away what came before it with respect to sin. Of course, entering Islam does not wipe away rights that are due. Right? So someone can't just steal. There's a sheikh I know. This woman came and she became Muslim, but she said she'd heard that Islam wipes away all that came before it. So she'd been a drug dealer, And she'd made millions. I said, what do I do? I said, is there anything else? And he looked up, said, well, she broke several bones of her husband because he used to work for her in her enterprise. And once he tried to cheat her from some money, so she threw him onto the sofa and she broke several limbs. And it was only this lady and the sheikh and of course other people around, but they're not in hearing. So he said he got afraid. He said, alhamdulillah, he spoke the truth. He said, you have to make radd al-madalim. You have to return what you owe to the people. And that's that all that earning was all from the haram. So you have to gradually take the means to get rid of all of it. Those you know, you have to return it to those you know. And those you don't, you have to give it away in charity, with the intention of ridding yourself of the haram. Right? And that's the truth. Okay? But sometimes one has to emphasize, well, enter first. Right? But this is also the power of making good ones Islam. Making good... فَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُهُ or حَسَّنَ إِسْلَامَهُ. To make good ones Islam is to... Because one thing is to accept to submit, to affirm the faith. And the other is to then take the means to be in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Which is, we talked about, there's mere faith and there is sound faith. Right? And similarly, there's mere submission, which is to accept to submit. And there's sound submission, that you are doing your best to be in a state of obedience to Allah, in a state that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's the perfection of Iman, and there's perfection of Islam. So if one does so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes, then not only the good deeds they did after Islam, but even whatever good they did before, and multiplies it. And while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and while wiping away all past sins. And that's from the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith was related by Imam Bukhari ta'liqan, which is the hadith al-mu'allaq in Bukhari are those hadiths that Imam al-Bukhari mentions in his chapter headings without a chain of transmission. But when he mentions them, bisirat al-jazm, when he mentions them decisively that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they're invariably shown to be at least sound. At least sound. The ulama went and looked for the chains. But it's also mentioned with its chain of transmission by Imam al-Nasa'i and others. Hadith number 24. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه رواه البخاري ومسلم وغيرهما. So Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you believes until they love for their brother what they love for themselves. Until they love for another all that they love for themselves. Ma is min siyagh al-'um. It's a general expression. Whatever they love for themselves. So there are levels of, they say there's two types of love. Okay? Imam Baydawi and others say, there's a rational love and an emotional love, an emotive love. The rational love is that you want, you incline to the good for another. Right? And that's the love that is required for others. And there's the emotive love, where you have a feeling of wanting with respect to another, and you're not responsible for that. And this is, and an example of that is mentioned from the Prophet ﷺ, when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect if someone had multiple spouses was to be just with each of them, right? So it's related to the Prophet, Allahumma hadha qasami fima amlik. Oh Allah, this is my apportioning in what I have control over. And do not take me to account for what I do not have control over. Right? Which is, it's inevitable. You like some more than others. Right? But that's a useful demarcation. So you may, you know, there's some people, sometimes not, there's not even because there's a problem. You just can't get along. Like, you know, you don't, like if things were the way you wanted them, you'd probably press select, delete. But you can't, like, you know. So there's the rational love, which is you incline, right? And there's the inclination with respect to the person themselves, right? But there's the inclination towards what? يحب لأخي ما يحب لنفسه. That you incline to want for them the good. Right? So you give them their rights. So if they have a need, you'd help them out. If they ask for something, you'd give it. If they're sick, you'd visit them. And of course, there's levels of love. It's superior that one also nurture the emotive love for others, so that it's not only a functional love, but it's done out of a genuine caring for them. And that's the kind of, and that is from kamal al-mahabba, right? From completeness of love. وَرُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. They are merciful to one another, right? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believer. The Prophet would not only go through the motions of loving for the good for others, so he'd visit the sick and so on, but we have so many hadiths, and if you look at the crying of the Prophet ﷺ, there's so many commands when they're sick, he cried, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? He really felt for them. Hadithun alaikum, right? He's, you know, deeply concerned for you. And the least of loving the good for another is to wish them no harm. Is to wish them no harm and therefore to do them no harm. And from the harm, of course, is that you do not deny them what is rightfully theirs of the rights of a believer. Of the rights of another on a person, right? So the believers owe rights to other people. Right? That you assist them when they're in need, that you visit them when they're sick. Right? These rights, that you fulfill them, because in non-fulfilling them, there's detriment to the other party. Right? So you do them no wrong, and from that is to not deny them what is rightfully theirs, either at the level of obligation or at the level of encouragement. The second level is to do good for them. Is to do good for them. Right? The first is adl. Right? Is to be just. You don't wrong them, and you fulfill their rights. What's rightfully theirs at the level of obligation and the level of recommendation. But then to do good to them, which is above that. And the third level is ithar, is to prefer others over oneself, right? Which is what the Ansar were praised for when the Medinans, the Muhajirin came, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And they prefer others to themselves, وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً, even if what they have is very little. Okay? And that is true friendship, right? It's related from Sayyidina Ali, Allahu A'lam if it's from him, that he said, صَدِيقَكَ الْحَقَّ مَنْ كَانَ مَعَكَ وَيَضُرُّ نَفْسَهُ لِيَنْفَعَكَ وَإِذَا شَدَائِدُ زَمَانِ صَدَعَتْكَ شَتَّتَ شَمْلَهُ لِيَجْمَعَكَ. Your true friend is the one who remains with you and who would hurt themselves to benefit you. And if the trials of time test you, they would ruin themselves to put you together. And this is a quality to know the duties of brotherhood, of ukhuwah. Imam al-Ghazali, if you want to gain a little bit of humility about how you are as a believer, read Imam al-Ghazali's chapter in the Ihya on the rights of brotherhood, which is translated in summarized fashion very capably by Mukhtar Holland. But the book in the Ihya on that sets a high standard. In English, we also have a wonderful work by Imam Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami, one of the great early imams, called Kitab al-Futuwa, the Book of Chivalry, which is, you know, and chivalry, this quality of, and at the heart of chivalry, of virtuous, noble, dignified conduct, is al-ithar. Right? Al-bathlu wal-ithar is to be giving and preferring. And we'll continue from hadith number 25, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. We're also looking in our roha at the instruction of the student on the ways of learning, ta'alim al-muta'allim, by Imam al-Zarnuji. And we reached the chapter on how one orders one's studies. So he talked about what one prioritizes in one's studies, right? Of how you give precedence to what's most important, etc., and begin with the basics, etc. We looked at that, and then having high resolve in one's study and how, you know, choosing teacher, etc. Now, فَصْلٌ فِي بِدَايَةِ السَّبْقِ وَقَدْرِهِ وَتَرْتِيبِهِ. The sabq is the lesson of how one begins one's lessons and the extent of the lesson and how one orders it. So he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, kana ustadhuna Shaykh al-Islam Burhanuddin rahimahullah ta'ala yaqifu bidayat as-sabqi 'ala yawm al-arbi'a wa kana yarwi fi dhalika haditha. He said, our teacher, Shaykh al-Islam, Burhanuddin, meaning Al-Marghinani, the author of the Hidayah, may Allah have mercy upon him, used to wait to begin a new lesson. He used to wait for Wednesdays to begin a new lesson. And he used to relate regarding that a hadith. And the way he puts it, that even though it has weakness, it does not mean that it does not exist or it's baseless, right? So there's no particular, the way, you know, but the one who really wants, you know, so like, you know, Sheikh al-Buti once used the example, is that someone who's in love, right? And they go shopping, there's things that they know that the one they love likes, so they take those things on. But then there's some things that this, they may well like this as well. So they take that too. Why? Because the one who loves wants to embrace all that they can embrace. So the condition of a weak hadith to be accepted is that it's not so weak that it would be fabricated. Right? It's not, or baseless. So there's weakness in it. Weakness means, so there's no transmitter in it who's a liar or a fabricator. But they may be weak. They may even be very weak. But there's no one in it who's a liar or fabricator. So it's not excessively weak. Number two, it accords with the established principles of our religion. يَرْجِعَ إِلَى أَصْلٍ شَرْعِيٍ. It corresponds with the values of our religion and its teachings. It does not go against any of them. And number three, one acts upon it hopeful of the virtue or the benefit, or out of caution to avoid the detriment or the harm. يعمل به على الرجاء ليس على القطع. One acts upon it hopefully and not decisively. ويستدل أيضا بقوله ويستدل به. And you should take that as an evidentiary basis. ويقول قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من شيء بدأ يوم الأربعاء إلا وقد تم. That it's related that the Prophet ﷺ said nothing is begun on a Wednesday except that it is completed. وهكذا كان يفعل أبو حنيفة. And that Abu Hanifa used to do likewise. May Allah have mercy on him. وكان يروي هذا الحديث عن أستاذه الشيخ الإمام الأجل قوام الدين أحمد بن عبد الرشيد. And Imam al-Marghinani used to relate this from his great teacher, right? Imam Ahmad ibn Abd al-Rashid. وسمعت ممن أثق به أن الشيخ أبا يوسف الهمداني رحمه الله تعالى كان يقف كل عمل من أعمال الخير على يوم الأربعاء. And likewise, one of the great scholars, Abu Yusuf al-Hamadani, or al-Hamadani, used to, if he was going to do something of the good, he used to wait to do it on a Wednesday. وهذا لأن يوم الأربعاء يوم خلق فيه النور. And this is because Wednesday is when light was created. It is said. The basis for that is weak. وهو يوم نحس في حق الكفار. And it's a day of loss for the disbelievers. فَيَكُونُ مُبَارَكًا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And so they will be blessed for the believers. So this is considered from تجربة. This is like the scholar, many people did it, they found benefit in it, so they suggested it. But it's not a legal ruling. It's not legally affirmed that this is من باب التجربة ليس من باب الحكم الشرعي. It's from experience, it's not a legal ruling that you don't say it is legal, religiously recommended to begin on Wednesday. No. How much does one study? أما قدر السبق في الابتداء فقد كان أبو حنيفة رحمه الله يحكي عن الشيخ القاضي الإمام عمر بن الإمام أبي بكر الزرنجي رحمه الله تعالى أنه قال مشايخنا رحمهم الله تعالى ينبغي أن يكون قدر السبق للمبتدئ قدر ما يمكن ضبطه بالإعادة مرتين بالرفق. So the practice of Abu Hanifa with respect to the extent of a lesson at the beginning of one's studies, Abu Hanifa used to say, and this is related from Imam Umar ibn Abi Bakr al-Zarnuji, perhaps related to the author, that our scholars have said, relating from Abu Hanifa, that it is befitting, yambaghi, is befitting that the extent of a lesson in the beginning for a student should be to the extent that they can retain. Dabt is to retain, right? By repeating it twice, easily, بالرفق. وَزِيدُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ كَلِمَةً حَتَّى إِنَّهُ وَإِنْ طَالَ السَّبْقُ وَكَثُرَ يُمْكِنُ ضَبْطُهُ. And then one gradually increases, even if it be just one letter at a time, meaning just a little at a time. وَيَزِيدُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ كَلِمَةً. And one increases each day, you know, a little bit, a letter. It's not literally, let's say, يَضْرِبْ. So, well, we won't take the hat today. Tomorrow we say, يَضْرِبُهُ. It's not in that way, a little at a time, until even if the lesson is long and extensive, it is possible to retain it by reviewing it twice. وَيَزِيدُ بِالرِّفْقِ وَالتَّدْرِيجِ. And one increases gently and gradually. فَمَّا إِذَا طَالَ السَّبْقُ فِي الْإِبْتِدَاءِ وَاحْتَاجَ إِلَى الْإِعَادَةِ 10 مَرَّاتِ فَهُوَ فِي الْإِنْتِهَاءِ أَيْضًا يَكُونُ كَذَلِكَ لَنَّهُ يَعْتَادُ ذَلِكَ. But on the other hand, if the lesson is too lengthy in the beginning, and it requires, lengthy meaning there's too much in it, so that it needs to be repeated 10 times, It has to be repeated many times to be understood and retained. Then at the end, it also will be like that. It will be difficult to retain. Right? And that's the nature and of that this part of the kunu rabbani. One begins with a little and one gets used to, and also one develops the tools of learning in the beginning. So someone may feel that, well, I've been studying for several years, I've not made a lot of progress, but at the beginning, part of the challenge is to learn how to learn and to make the habits of learning, right? And when learning, really, if you look at it, ultimately, you're not learning so much at once, but as you build those habits, then one can accelerate and you'll find you'll be able to retain much more. وَلَا يَتْرُكُ تِلْكَ الْعَادَةَ إِلَّا بِجُهْدٍ كَثِيرٍ. And one will not be able to leave this habit except with a lot of effort. And meaning, if you gain a habit of being able to retain by just a little repetition, then that will become a habit. But if you make it a habit to make it very difficult for yourself to retain it, because you're taking on so much at a time, then that too will become a habit. You'll always want to do a lot of things, and it'll be very difficult to break that habit as well. وَقَدْ قِيلَ السَّبْقُ حَرْفٌ وَالتِّكْرَارُ أَلْفٌ. And it's been said that the lesson is like one letter, is worth one letter, and repetition is worth 1,000. A harf is also just a little bit. That the lesson matters only a little, and repetition is priceless. Right? Of course, this is just by the way of emphasis, in that what does it matter? So, alhamdulillah, I attended Sheikh Waleed's seminar on Surah Al-Kahf. So what did he cover? Well, he covered the four stories. What were they? The ones that are mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf. You don't remember. So what was the main point about the first one? I don't remember. What was the main, right? So it is what really counts in knowledge. Like, so the lesson is the foundation, but it is repetition that retains it, is the support. And without the support, the foundation disappears. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَبْتَدِئَ بِشَيْءٍ يَكُونُ أَقْرَبَ إِلَى فَهْمِهِ. And it's befitting that one begin with something that is close, that is closer to one's understanding. Meaning that one doesn't take on all the big complicated issues all at once. Okay. So the mashayikh in Damascus, the Westerners come to Damascus, come here, and they still can't speak a complete sentence in Arabic, and they want to solve all the world's problems and all the contemporary fiqh issues and all the contemporary theological questions. But they still don't, if you ask them, so what is the definition of fiqh? They don't know. Who is Allah? They couldn't tell you. They want to solve the problem of evil and atheism and Islamic finance and this and that. Right? And you won't get that unless you get the foundation correct. وكان الشيخ الإمام الأستاذ شرف الدين العقيلي رحمه الله يقول أصاب عندي في هذا ما فعله مشايخنا رحمه الله تعالى فإنه كانوا يختارون للمبتدئ صغرات المبسوط لأنه أقرب إلى الفهم والضبط وأبعد عن الملالة وأكثر وقوعا بين الناس. Right? He said, and so this Shaykh Sharafuddin Al-Aqili said that what's correct, according to me, to my understanding, is that what our teachers used to do, which is that they used to choose for the students the short, clear works, right? Right. The short, clear books, right? Or the sigarat al-mabsut, the small works that summarize the larger works. The mabsut being, bast is expansion. Right? It's the small works based on the large works. Right? Because they're closer to understanding. Right? They're closer to understanding. And أقرب إلى الفهم والضبط. And they are more easily retained. And more distant from malala. Or malal is to become tired of it. And they contain the issues وأكثر وقوعاً بين الناس, and they contain the issues that occur most frequently to people. And then he gives some practical tips about the lesson. So he says, وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعَلِّقَ السَّبْقَ بَعْدَ الضَّبْطِ وَالْإِعَادَةِ كَثِيرًا. He says, it's proper to hang up one's lesson after one has understood it, made الضبط of it, and repeated it a lot. فَإِنَّهُ نَافِعٌ جِدًّا, because that's very beneficial. Meaning that there's several aspects. One, to hang it, you know, meaning to put it away. There's one thing, put it away. Don't over-repeat. Because after all, if you're just sitting there repeating 100 times, you're getting tired of it, so you're just going through the motions, but you're not really understanding. So every once in a while, you put it away. Right? So it's like exercise. You know, you do repetitions, but then you have to regain your energy. Right? And one of the ways is you switch to another subject. When you find your mind tiring, then you come back to it. Or you take a brief break, but not a long break, a brief break, so you refresh your mind, and you come back to it with a fresh mind, you'll retain. That's one. The other of تعليق السبق is also put it up in a place where you can keep seeing it. Right? So you make a diagram, for example, or whatever, so you can keep seeing it. Right? Or you keep track of it. So, okay, these are the things I'm working on. Right? So you have, like, it's there visually for you. So that's very beneficial. Also, it refers to, that visual thing, to hang it, is to do a khulasa, to summarize it. Right? So whether you diagram it or visualize it in some way, etc., that's very beneficial. And the ulama classically used to do a lot of different ways of visualization. Right? The Ottomans had published books of diagramming, especially the rational sciences, grammar, and that is book At-Ta'rifat Al-Aziziyah, I think it's called. Right? The diagramming Nahu and Sarf and Mantiq and Balagha and all these things. Right? Well, you can diagram any subject. But the thing is, it's not very beneficial to buy someone else's diagrams or just download, okay, I've got diagrams for all of the Ajrumiya. But can you diagram it yourself? No. Right? That's what's like saying, oh, you're studying fiqh, say, oh, I bought a mufti's turban. But like, become a mufti and then the turban will fit. But if you don't, like what are you going to do with it? And then he says, وَلَا يَكْتُبُ الْمُتَعَلِّمُ شَيْئًا لَا يَفْهَمُهُ فَإِنَّهُ يُرُثُ كَلَالَةَ الطَّبْعِ. He says, and the student should not write down anything that they don't understand. Because that gives a weak learning temperament. كَلَالَة is, you just become like a, you become foolish. Meaning that when you take notes, try to understand them. And if you do write something you don't understand, don't leave it there until you understand it. Either by looking it up and then confirming or asking. So there should be nothing in your notes that you don't understand. Or at the very least, you should make indication that I don't understand this. And part of review is to cover all areas of that you don't understand. Because otherwise, it just makes you neglectful of knowledge. وَيَذْهَبُ الفطنة, right? And it does away with sharpness of intelligence. وَيُضَيُّعُ أَوْقَاتَهُ And it wastes one's time. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَجْتَهِدَ فِي الْفَهْمِ عَنِ الْأُسْتَاذِ And it's befitting for the student that they strive their utmost. اجتهاد in understanding one's teacher. أو بالتأمل والتفكر or by reflecting by thinking and reflection وكثرة التكرار and by repetition right? فإنه إذا قل السبق وكثر التكرار والتأمل يدرك ويفهم because if the lesson is brief and there is extensive repetition and reflection then the lesson will be attained and understood. فقد قيل حفظ حرفين خير من سماع وقرين. Because it's been said that learning, that retaining two letters, two words, is better than hearing two great containers of knowledge. وفهم حرفين خير من حفظ وقرين. But understanding two words is better than memorizing two great containers. Okay. And the wiqr is a large container. وَإِذَا تَهَاوَنَ فِي الْفَهْمِ وَلَمْ يَجْتَهِدْ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ يَعْتَادُ ذَلِكَ And if one is lax about understanding and doesn't strive in it time after time, they'll become accustomed to it. You just show up, you write some things, you go, and it becomes sort of lackadaisical. فَلَا يَفْهَمُ الْكَلَامَ الْيَسِيرِ And then one will become such that you won't even understand obvious, easy speech. فَيَنْبَغِي أَلَّا يَتَهَاوَنَ فِي الْفَهْمِ So it is befitting that one not be lax about understanding. بَلْ يَجْتَهِدْ But rather, one strives one's utmost. Right? That is your part. وَيَدْعُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى right? And one should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَضَرَّعَ وَيَدْعُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَيَتَضَرَّعُ and humble oneself to him in asking. فَإِنَّهُ يُجِيبُ مَنْ دَعَاهُ Because he answers those who call upon him. وَلَا يُخَيِّبُ مَنْ رَجَاهُ And he does not let down those who place their hopes in him. So we don't just ask Allah for spiritual things and worldly things. Right? We also ask Allah for the means by which we attain His pleasure. And from that is knowledge. Because sometimes people ask Allah, Allah asks you for Jannah and ask you for things in the after. And here, I want, you want the new MacBook Pro because your computer was ruined and you have a generous husband and he'll get you the MacBook Pro with the new magic bar or whatever. So you're making dua for that. But as for your studies, you don't make dua for them. Right? But rather, these things one should be asking for, not just in general, and one should make a regular habit of the sunnah du'as, etc., related to knowledge, and you can find them in Kitab al-Adhkar and elsewhere, but also, with that, the specific things. If you begin a lesson, make dua for that lesson. If there's difficult concepts, ask Allah for understanding of them. You're studying aqidah, and you come to دور تسلسل الله اللهم فهمني الدور والتسلسل right you ask Allah for understanding you begin a chapter etc and you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's very key and it says for he answers those who call upon him and he does not let down those who hope in him similarly one make dua one of the adab a lot of the ulama what they used to do the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said zamzam لِمَا شُرِبَتْ مِنْ أَجْلِهِ Or زَمْزَمْ لِمَا شُرِبَ مِنْ أَجْلِهِ Zamzam is for whatever it's drunk for. So it's one of the sunnahs that we know from the Prophet So when you drink Zamzam, you make dua for the highest of matters. So you drink it with that intention. And the ulama used to drink Zamzam with high intentions of knowledge. One in terms of attainment. So many of the scholars said that they asked, many of the hadith scholars, for example, say, O Allah, I ask you that I attain the rank of so-and-so, in hadith. Right? Or the fuqaha, that Allah, make me understand, mughni al-muhtaj, make me master the Minhaj al-Talibin and its commentaries, right? Like this, you make particular attention, or the text that you're studying, make me understand it and benefit from it and be able to benefit others through it. So that, you know, this should be an active part of your du'as, right? And then, and that's part of the spiritual engagement with knowledge. And of course, that extensive du'a for something is also conducive to nurturing sincerity and trueness. Because they say, الدعاء يجمع الهم. Right? Du'a gathers one's concern. And they say, if you wanted to read your own heart, to know how much you care, right? Ask, what do you make du'a for? Right? What do you make du'a for? Because you are the sum of your du'as. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وقلبا خاشعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا اللهم علما وعملا وإخلاصا وقبولا وصدقا ونفعا وانتفاعا وتعلما وتعليما على الوجه الذي يرضيك ويقرب إليك ويجعلنا من ويجعلنا بفضلك للمتقين إماما وصل وسلم وبارك على إمام المتقين سيدنا ونبينا محمد الداعي إليك على صراط المستقيم وسلم تسليما كثيرا والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, daily guidance for seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help Seekers Hub give light to millions around the world by supporting us through monthly donations by going to seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the US and Canada.